Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado. Bill Jack, also in studio. Our children being an important part of this ministry over some 15 years, and they have put together much of the typesetting that we do for our curriculum. Our children also involved in editing these programs and putting the technical program together, and also our children are involved in the shipping and receiving that goes on in our ministry, and this has been part of the family economy for a very long time. But it's also the decentralization of media. We are competing with NBC, CBS, ABC, and Fox from our basement out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado, something I could not have done 25 years ago, and for that I'm thankful. It's much easier to engage ideas and not have to submit to the monopoly of ideas that is presented by the liberal press. And the liberal press is doing worse and worse, Bill.
Yes.
They are less and less popular, and they're going out of business. Praise God.
Yep. And it's the print media, you know, the newspapers mm-hmm. specifically that are suffering. Here in Colorado, you know, the Denver Post is owned by a hedge fund out of New York, and the hedge fund is only interested in the bottom line. They're not interested in altruism. They're not interested in community, as the Post claims it is. They're interested in the money. And so what they're doing is they've just released 30 employees at the Post. That's a significant cut.
It's a huge cut.
That's a huge
About
cut.
30%.
Yeah.
There were 56 newspapers that have closed or merged in the last 12 years. And print advertising has fallen, get this, from $60 billion in 2000 to a $20 billion industry in 2015, which means about a 70% drop in just, what, 15 years?
Yes.
That's impressive. But that's not the story. Now, confidence in media is at an all-time low in America. That is, Americans do not have much confidence in the liberal media. They don't have confidence in the newspapers and the television news. Confidence in media is at an all-time low, but that's not the story either. Gallup has done some studies on the confidence level of Republicans and Democrats in their media, and it turns out that the divide is what is the most interesting element here. Democrats are even more excited about the media than they were in the 1990s. In 1998, 52% of Republicans trusted the media, and 60% of Democrats trusted the media. It's 8% spread.
And considering the divide politically, that's not that big a spread.
That is not a big spread.
Because typically, print media has been very liberal-leaning.
That's right. So in 1998, 52% of Republicans trusted the media, 60% of Democrats trusted the media. That was an 8% spread. But in 2017, get this, my friends, only 14% of Republicans trusted the media, and 72% of Democrats trust the media.
Whoa!
That's a 60% spread.
That is.
So we've gone from an 8% spread to a 60% spread. The divide in America has increased 700% or sevenfold since 1998. In a 20-year time span, America has become perhaps the most divided nation on earth. Is a civil war imminent?
Yeah, I wonder if
a civil war might be imminent.
I don't know that it's imminent. I think we're involved in it.
Yeah,
I don't think
at least at some level it's
there's
exactly
not guns gun, and
no
and,
guns and swords. But,
no,
yeah.
But there's a civil war. There's a war of ideas. There always is a war of ideas and cultures that that manifests itself. But this one is there's a deep chasm. It's not just a divide. It's a chasm in America right now.
And there's a great deep-seated hatred among Republicans and conservatives for the media today. Only 14% of Republicans trust the media. That means 86%. That means 86% say, forget it. I'm not even watching the news. So there's no question Donald Trump has been a dividing factor. No question in my mind. The liberal media hate Trump, and almost 50% of Americans voted for him.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is definitely going to put a divide between the Republicans, conservatives, and the liberal media today. The liberal media is out of touch with probably 50, 60% of the American people. That's just it. So you lose 50 to 60% of your base, and that's not going to go well for you when it comes to advertising dollars. My neighbors don't pay any attention. I mean, they're not Christian generally, but they don't pay any attention to the liberal media.
Right.
They just don't.
Right.
So I would argue, however, that it's more than the media that's created the divide. The only bastion held by conservatives was radio talk. The liberals dominated television newsprint and have really since the beginning of television news. If anything, though, Americans are somewhat divided on the wrong issues. Most conservatives are dividing with liberals on things like environmentalism, immigration, not the substantial issues like eliminating welfare or eliminating all abortion and putting homosexuality back in the closet. These are the substantial issues. These are the issues that really matter. But Americans don't, for the most part, care about these issues. But the bottom line is liberal media is dying out. Just like eugenics died out. Praise God. Remember eugenics?
That's kind of a play on words, isn't it? The eugenics movement died out.
Yeah, it did die out.
Yeah.
It did die out.
It didn't.
The eugenics.
No, it didn't.
Well, it did not entirely, but.
No, because abortion is rampant.
It is. But it went into the closet.
Yeah.
It most definitely went into the closet after World War II. Why? Because Germans and the Japanese lost World War II.
And they had a eugenics program.
They did.
Instituted against the Chinese.
And others.
And against the Jews.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And against the Poles and against the Gypsies. And so it was.
The Germans and the Japanese lost. Now, of course, most Americans, most American universities, most American seminaries, most American leaders, as in Woodrow Wilson, Theodore Roosevelt, were pro-eugenics. That was the politically correct issue of the day. But at the end of World War II, eugenics went back into the closet. And now the liberal media is dying out as Jesus brings another enemy down. And listen, my friends, Jesus is a factor in history. Now, I think people forget this, that there is a sovereign God over all things. Jesus is head over all things, and he is bringing his enemies under his footstool. And as we look at history, you've got to interpret history that way. Now, it's true, you say, well, there's other enemies. Well, yeah, of course, there are lots of enemies. But as we look at history, we're going to find that Jesus will bring his enemies under his footstool. One by one, one by one, he will bring his enemies under his footstool. And the liberal media is going down. I'm here to tell you, the liberal media is coming down. The liberal media is coming down. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. Five states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. Back on the Generations Broadcast, this is Kevin Swanson. As the major media coming down, my friends, the major media is being displaced by, well, tens of thousands of blogs. There are so many more news outlets through the internet today. There's got to be hundreds, if not thousands, of news outlets on the internet today. In competition with ABC, CBS, NBC, Denver Post, the Chicago Tribune, and so forth and so on, there's a Weekly Standard article where apparently the writers and editors of the Denver Post are whining and whining and whining. They're not going to die quietly. They're not going down quietly. The writers and editors of the Denver Post recently did what more than a few journalists have only dreamed of doing. They denounced their proprietor and the pages of the Denver Post. They denounced their owners. Apparently the owners were launching the layoff of some 30 journalists, and so audacious was their action that the gesture made the front page of the New York Times, which reported approvingly that the Post is in open revolt against its owner and pulled in no punches in its weekend perspective section, News Matters, Colorado should demand the newspaper it deserves. Well, as it turns out, if they're not making enough money, the proprietors are going to pull the plug. And that's typically what happens. I hate to tell you this, but it's time to wake up and smell the napalm. These newspapers are going down, my friends. Yep. These newspapers are going down.
They need to smell the printer's ink.
Well, the assumption is, according to this, that a local newspaper should exist. A flagship local newspaper should exist because, according to this article from the Weekly Standard, a flagship local newspaper should exist because it plays a critically important role in its city and state and stands as a lighthouse, reflective of and accountable to a community's values and goals. A news organization like ours ought to be seen as a necessary public institution vital to the very maintenance of our grand democratic experience.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah. But still, if you're not making enough money, you're going out of business.
And if you do not reflect the community's values and the goals, then you should go the way of the dinosaur.
That's right. And, you know, the assumption that democratic values are the right values is not always right.
Well, it depends on what you mean by democratic.
When 52% of the people want to kill babies or kill the Jews, are they always right? Are the democratic values of the 52% always right? Or is it God's law that is the basis for ethics? See, again, this is a problem. The idea that a newspaper must reflect the values of the community is not right.
No.
There should be a battle of ideas going on in the various news outlets that we see.
And we do not see that. They toe the party line.
Well, they tend to. And so that we have a monopoly of thought that pretty much has governed America. And it's not just the media, of course, it's education. Of course, the universities and the K-12 schools have control over the American mind. And it's not just the media. We're thankful the media is coming down. Liberal media is about to crash. But we still need to see the universities and the K-12 schools come down. And I believe one day they will. I believe one day the secular universities that have the wrong epistemology, the wrong basic system of knowledge, is going to self-destruct. In fact, I think it's self-destructing right now. I think it's just a matter of time. Within 20, 30 years from now, the universities will probably not exist. They have almost no function now, and they're way, way, way too expensive. And, of course, college debt is through the ceiling. We are at the point at which the university system is about to collapse as well. This is another enemy that needs to come down. The universities, the K-12 schools, and the media have been the means by which America has been increasingly secularized and increasingly homosexualized, as we all know. I mean, this is nothing new. You hardly need to say it. It's so obvious. But these, of course, being the source of the corruption of the United States of America and the destruction of the United States of America, these systems need to come down. They need to crash down. They need to crash and burn and never come back. That, my friends, is what needs to happen. Why? Because they reflect the wrong values, because they don't teach right and wrong is defined by the holy law of God. And for that reason, we cannot support them. All right. So the assumption that democratic values, the people's values, are always the right values is wrong. And by the way, everybody knows that. The idea that the community sets its own values and the newspapers need to reflect the values of the community is bogus. I think everybody knows it's bogus. Everybody knows that's a hoax. Democratic values are almost always established by the loudest voices. I think it was Wittgenstein who would say, he was a philosopher from the 20th century, he would say, it's always the voice that screams heretic the loudest that established the truth value of the present day. And so, friends, it's the idea that the community establishes its own values is bogus. It's the oligarchy of the media moguls and the leaders in education that establish the values of the nation.
All you have to do is look at the LGBT movement.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll recognize that those are not the values of the general population.
That's right.
They are being foisted upon the general population because they control the outlets.
That's
right. Because they have moved themselves into positions of influence.
Exactly.
It's like the Marines, you know? The Marines are not wanting to recruit everybody. They are just looking for a few committed people. I as a Christian, am not interested in moving the entire church to move on issues. I'm looking for a few committed Christians who are willing to stand and speak truth and grace in various venues.
Democracy is pretty much a hoax. I think everybody realizes that. The way that people vote, the way that people are trained to think, is established by the media and the schools. Hello? they're established by the philosopher kings that control the media and control 97% of the minds of the nation because they control the K-12 schools and the universities that teach the teachers to teach the K-12 schools the values that are upheld by the left-wing universities where the Republican to Democrat professors ratio is roughly 1 to 25 these days. All right, my friends, so it is the left-wing controllers over the media and the educational resources of the nation that control the minds of the nation. It's not the people. I mean, give me a break. It's not the people that do that. The people just vote according to the values they're told and they're trained in by these powerful influences that come via NBC, CBS, and ABC, and the huge universities that control the minds of the masses. This is, my friends, where democracy is going. Democracy is just the oligarchy transferred to the media and to the educational systems of the day. More honestly and better stated, the press is somewhat of a balance of powers, however. And so there needs to be something of a free press. And so I believe there needs to be something of a free press and a free speech and the ability to communicate ideas. And so more honestly and better stated, the press is somewhat of a balance of powers, trying to keep our political leaders honest and accountable. My brother owns a newspaper, and he sees his role as letting the community know how the city and county is spending their tax money. Now, is that legitimate?
That's a legitimate reporting.
Absolutely.
And then, and then he can make commentary on that, on how they're spending it, sure, on the opinion page.
Sure. Okay, sure.
But that's the beauty of newspapers, because mm-hmm. you can see that these are different pages. They're different sections. Whereas what we see in other media is there's this blending and bleeding over of opinion and reporting, and it's hard for people to discern that if they're not well-educated in that idea.
So freedom of the press, freedom of speech, important for Christians. And I think it's especially important for Christians because, you know, it's the darkness that hates the light. It's the darkness that's afraid of the light. The light's not afraid of the darkness. The light is not afraid of the darkness, but the darkness is afraid of the light. And why is the darkness afraid of the light?
It dispels it.
And exposes it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Ephesians 5:11, do not participate in deeds of evil, but rather
reprove them. Exactly. So light's not afraid of darkness. And so, you know, those that speak the truth, those who broadcast the truth, are very, very interested in the freedom of the press and the freedom of speech. But those who hate the light and hate the truth are probably going to do their best to destroy the freedom of the press and freedom of speech. Why? So that they can monopolize their Emperor's New Clothes propaganda campaign and impose it upon the masses without anybody, including the little boy, standing up in the middle of the crowd and saying, hey, the dude's nude. You follow me?
Yeah.
It's going to be the Emperor's New Clothes propaganda machine that's not going to want freedom of the press. Why? Because darkness hates the light. It does not want its deeds to be exposed. So, of course, Christians are very much in favor of the freedom of the press and not the monopolization of the press by certain powerful forces that own all of the television channels across this country. The monopoly of the press and the centralization of control of a limited number of television licenses made it very difficult to get the truth out through the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. But now with the internet, we have a decentralization of power of the media that prevails, and we're thankful for this. And that's why we are broadcasting to tens of thousands through this little studio in my basement out on the eastern plains of Colorado. You know, it's interesting, the major newspapers have been anti-Christian almost from the beginning of this country. Benjamin Franklin, Alexander Hamilton, Thomas Jefferson started some of the first anti-Christian newspapers in the country. The New York Times was publishing articles exposing abortionists in the 1870s, but by the time you hit the 1890s, William Hearst has grabbed a hold of a number of newspapers across the country and is imposing a fair amount of control over the American voting base. He's pushing American interventionism very, very hard. Arguably, he's the guy who pushed President McKinley over the edge to the Spanish-American War. We'd stayed out of the European conflicts for some 80 years. But Hearst sent his famous artist Remington over to Cuba just prior to the Spanish-American War. And Remington said, there's no potential for war over here. He put a telegram over towards William Hearst. There's no potential for war over here. And Hearst responded, you send me the pictures and I'll make the war.
Right.
That's a famous comment that came via a telegram from Hearst to Remington, his artist, who was covering the Spanish issue out in Cuba at the time. So then it was yellow journalism that tried to appeal to the basis of human desires, and that's what Hearst majored in at that time. Also, there was some socialist journalism that took off around the same time through Upton Sinclair, a journalist who published the socialist novel The Jungle. You remember that in 1906. Again, it was yellow journalism that is always trying to appeal to the basis of human desires. If you want to be really, really successful in media, be sure you choose the most salacious stories and pictures and put them on the front of Fox News. That's the rule for journalism, successful journalism. Human nature is basically depraved, and that's why. So you appeal to the depravity of human nature. You appeal to his human lust and pride, and you'll make the most money in media if you do that. And journalists have learned that early on. It's much harder to make money in media when you don't appeal to the depravity of the human heart. It's harder to do a Christian worldview news program and give God all the glory versus man and highlight God's works of mercy and judgment over man's works of evil. See, again, it's going to be the salacious stories. It's going to be the stories relating to the evil of men's hearts. That's going to be the most interest to the evil hearts of men. So keep that in mind. That's why yellow journalism tends to sell so well. But by the 1940s, the press was pretty much socialist. Between 1943 and 1949, the American press issued 22 books that were pro-communist, only seven that backed the Chinese nationalist government under Chiang Kai-shek. And so, of course, they were replacing one pagan dictator with another, but you didn't improve anything with Mao Zedong. Mao Zedong was greatly appreciated and approved of by the American press in the 1940s. So now liberalism controls journalism today. This is where we are today. The ratio of liberal to conservative for journalists is? What do you think it is?
Probably one half to 99.
Not quite. 5-1. It's liberal to conservative is 5-1 right now. But as Christians, what do we do? As Christians, how do we handle the press? Why does this ministry, generations.org, include theworldview.com or the worldview in 5 minutes as part of its offerings? Because we believe that Christians should be involved in bringing a distinctively God-honoring, Christ-glorifying, biblical worldview-based approach to the news. And there wasn't anything like that out there. And so we began that about 3.5 years ago, and we're almost to the point of this thing breaking even. I think we've put probably probably closer to $120,000 of money into the worldview in 5 minutes to try to bring something of a distinctively Christian worldview approach to the news on a daily basis. Christians have a responsibility to shine the light and reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. If big business is in sin and it has corrupted itself and it's cheating its workers or cheating somebody, do you think it's our responsibility to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, Bill?
It is. It is. Again, Ephesians 5:11.
Yeah.
And that is the beauty of a Christian newspaper, a Christian broadcast, is that it's grounded and rooted in truth. And so it can speak truth to a culture. It can speak truth to power. Whereas those who are just from a secular perspective get corrupted much more easily by power, and they crawl in bed with those who are corrupt.
And sadly, those who maintain the wrong worldview, that is a covetous, envious worldview that wants to redistribute all the wealth, will not interpret the word sin or corruption properly. Does that make sense? They won't define the word sin properly. Why? Because they define the word sin according to Karl Marx's definition of what is just and what is fair. All right. And that's not a biblical definition. Karl Marx's ethics and biblical ethics are different. Therefore, as Christians, we define the sin and corruption of big business differently than the socialists would. Does that make sense, my friend? So it's important that Christians be involved in the media that they might expose the sin and corruption of big business. And it's important that Christians will expose the sin and the corruption of governments as well. Now, some say, well, no, it's only businesses. It's only the big businesses that sin. Governments never sin. Why? Because governments constitute God on earth, according to the socialist mentality. No, no, no. If governments are in sin and corrupt, we have a responsibility to reveal their sin, as John the Baptist did with Herod.
If big entertainment and big sports is in sin and corrupt, then it's our responsibility to reveal their sins. Yes, we expose and reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. If governments are permitting the sex slave trade of 12-year-old girls and the baby body part trade business with Planned Parenthood and giving them $500 million to do it, then I think we have a responsibility to reveal that. Again, my friends, the Bible speaks to revealing the unfruitful works of darkness, exposing the unfruitful works of darkness, reproving the unfruitful works of darkness. Moreover, Christians also should study history and present the last 24 hours of history, which is the news. That's all I look at, the worldview in 5 minutes. It's just covering the last 24 hours of history. And history is his story. And if his story is God's story, if God's hand is in his story, then we certainly should be covering the last 24 hours of his story and giving God the glory, attributing this, all things to the sovereignty of God, pointing out the judgment of God, the mercy of God simultaneously, because God is merciful to the nation. God is judging nations. We see this all the time. We see his mercy all the time. We see his judgment all the time. We should be pointing these things out and acknowledging the judgment of God, the mercy of God. We should give God the glory. We should acknowledge the sovereignty of Christ over all these things and do so with a daily newscast. And we call it the Worldview in 5 minutes.
It's like a snapshot into history.
It is.
You know, it's not the whole album. It is a snapshot.
That's
but
right.
Snapshots make up the family album.
That's right. It has to do with what God is doing in history. The assumption, of course, is that man is not sovereign over what happened in the last 24 hours. It's not all the works of man. We're not giving man all the glory. Moreover, a lot of news assumes that whatever happens were random events in a totally causeless universe where there is no ultimate cause. There is no personality behind it. There is no sovereign God over it all. And that's the assumption as most people cover the natural disasters that occur. But we don't do that. We acknowledge the sovereignty of God and the providence of God in bringing his judgments and bringing his merciful deliverances across this world. And we need to acknowledge these things. My friends, we need a radically different approach to news. And that's what we do with The Worldview in 5 minutes. I encourage you to tune into it at theworldview.com or as part of this radio broadcast. My friends, get the word out to other Christians. If you know other Christians, be sure they're not listening to or watching other news programs that refuse to acknowledge Christ, that refuse to give God the glory, that refuse to acknowledge the providence of God and the sovereignty of God over what happened over the last 24 hours. Please, I plead with you, please provide your friends, your Christian brothers and sisters with a Christian approach to the news and avoid the bad worldviews that are brought about through the humanist systems that are out there. Well, that summarizes our review of journalism and the liberal media, which is about to self-destruct. And we're thankful for that as Jesus continues his rule on the right hand of the Father. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.